Well, welcome everyone. Welcome back to another installment of Get to Know Grace. I'm Pastor Rachel, and today I'm joined by our very own board president, Jason. I'm so excited to be here and talk with you and get to know you a little bit better. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes. Well, let's get started with a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, thank you so much for this time together. To be your people in your world, gathered together both in this space and across the interwebs, across the sound waves, across these technologies that you have blessed us with, so that we can continue to be your people in your world in new and creative ways. In this time together, help us all to have open ears and open hearts to the ways that you've been present in Jason's good life. To the ways that you continue to work in and through him in the midst of this community of faith and in the midst of this entire world. Help us all to hear so that we might be so inspired to go and do likewise in this community of faith and in the world around us. Bless us, O God. Remind us that you are with us always, listening always, even now. All this and so much more, we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you like the good people of Grace Lutheran Church to know about who Jason is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. yeah, so I think first off, I'm always open to kind of engage with people. So I think just a little bit of, when you see me or if you're wanting to come and chat, I am an introvert. So I'm always open and interested and looking forward to having those kind of engagements, with people. I do kind of prefer more, one-on-one type conversations. So,
totally.
So I'm always kind of looking forward to building that community, building those relationships within the church. So, looking forward to doing that, always open to, meeting one-on-one or, having those phone calls or, going and getting coffee or whatnot. But I do kind of prefer small groups, one-on-one conversations. So always open to kind of, and as I'm kind of stepping into this role with the board, very interested in building community across the church. So look forward to doing that. More of an in-person type of interactions work well for me. Or phone calls. So always open to that. And then, just to kind of tell a little bit of, about myself and, who I am. So people probably know me and my family. I have a wife and then two kids who've been going here their whole lives. So we kind of started going here right before my oldest daughter was born. And so the church, especially the early services, is very familiar with our family and our kids, and they've kind of raised with the Kids of the Kingdom Choir, and a little bit about my background. So I grew up in the area, although I didn't grow up Lutheran. So Grace is the first Lutheran church that I've been a part of. I attended one when we lived in California. We went to a one service. Very different environment. That was like a whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
Type of a experience. And but yeah, we've been coming to Grace and since we moved back basically to the area.
Okay.
And I've been going ever since. But yeah, I wasn't raised Lutheran, so there's still a lot of things that I'm still kind of learning and getting a feel for, that were a little bit foreign to me. Because I kind of grew up non-denominational. Always going to, always went to church, growing up, raised in the church, but more of a non-denominational background. So kind of learning about some of the denominations, the traditions, the theology behind them is something that I'm still kind of learning through. And I feel like I've kind of gotten a lot of connection with the ELCA Lutheran Church, which has been really exciting. And I like a lot of the intentions behind it and a lot of the theology and what they believe, and then especially the church, the Lutheran World Relief, a lot of the kind of living from the whole life perspective, and the engagement both within the church in the community and globally that the Lutheran Church seems to have, that I've really kind of found a connection with there. So it's kind of I've enjoyed that part of the journey with Grace and like kind of with the Lutheran Church as a whole.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, you know, we moved from California here right before our my firstborn was born, Amelia, and we were looking for a church, and in a short period of time, we found the church, and then I ended up working with the with Lutheran Community Services Northwest. So
no
it was like first, you know, interactions with the church come, you know, that you hear when we moved back to the area was a Lutheran church that we went to and we found community in, and then, you know, employment with the, you know, Lutheran Community Services Northwest. And so,
yeah.
You know, got very engaged both from, you know, professional sense and then, you know, with the church.
Yeah.
So I no longer work with them yet right now, but I'm still, you know, a donor and engaged with them. So
totally.
So yeah, that's a little bit of kind of, you know, a little bit about me. You know, so new to Lutheran, my family, and then very new this year getting on the board, and so
yeah.
That's been kind of a new, you know, new experience, kind of getting a feel for that, and how kind of the church runs. And so I think one thing that I'm just very, you know, express gratitude for is like those who are in the various roles and ministries of the church, and seeing how much commitment there is, and authenticity and empowerment there is.
Yeah.
'Cause I think, you know, being a part of the board, it's a team, and there's so many people who are committed within that board that have so much care and love for the church and the community here, and then the vision that we're here to live into, and open to living into that, growing into it, both within the board itself, and then you have the finance ministry team, and just seeing kind of how much care, how much intention, and you know, and you know, commitment there is across, you know, across the church. I've really been impressed and thankful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's so much more I want to ask you about. I just, I love your family. I just adore your girls. They're wonderful. If anyone is needing a wonderful origami art, Amelia's origami is fantastic. She's gifted me a couple pieces and I adore them.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm so excited you were able to find this place that speaks to all four of you, that can hold all of you and support all of you and your growth for all four of you, both as a unit and individually. And I'm just so glad you guys are still here so that I would get the chance to meet all four of you. When you say you moved back here, did you live in the area prior to leaving and then returning?
Yeah, so I was born and raised here.
Okay.
So I was born and raised in Seattle, went to college, you know, in Bellingham, and then we, both my wife and I, we didn't meet before this, but we both did Peace Corps.
Oh, sure.
And so we lived abroad, in Ghana, West Africa, for a little over 2 years. And then that's where we met. After Peace Corps, we moved to Northern California.
Okay.
And then lived there for, maybe about 4 years or so. And then we moved from Northern California back to Seattle.
Okay.
After she was doing a master's program there. So okay. After she graduated, we moved back here.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. We're in Northern California. Where are you guys?
Humboldt County, California.
Okay.
So
sure.
Like Eureka, Arcata.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is so funny because, I mean, Alaska and Washington are not at all near each other, but there's so many things that are similar to Washington or to Alaska here in Washington geographically that in some ways I feel like I've come home after living in Alaska. So it's funny to me just that like you and I are from such similar-ish spots. And then to go, we both spent good chunks of our time on the African continent and then came back and ended up in Northern California because that's ended up actually where I went to seminary. I went to seminary in Berkeley.
Okay.
So there's like just, we've got more connections than I realized. And we're just
yep.
now learning about it and I love it. Another reason, I also love one-on-one conversations and that's why I love doing this podcast. It's that same like you were talking about. It's easier to really get to know someone when you're doing these one-on-ones.
Yeah.
And you find these connections that, I mean, we've been working together on the board for, Has it been almost a year? When did you start working on the board?
Yeah, I guess it would be, 10 months in January. So after the annual meeting, I think it was February was the first official meeting.
Right. Yeah. So we've been working together as board members. I mean, we've been working together as Grace members for almost 2 years, but as board members for almost a year. And mm-hmm. it's just so cool to learn about these like connections.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, that's a great segue into what drew you to Grace? What drew you to this space in particular? Or maybe and, what keeps you coming back? They're probably related, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had moved back. I moved back with family, and we were looking for a church, and in Northern California, we had a church that we were very involved with. It was called Catalyst Church, and very, very involved with it. Really connected, really good messaging. Like their sermons and their Bible studies were really, really good. I mean, hour long sermons.
That oh were my gosh!
Like really in depth and just like each really, really got deep.
Yeah.
You know, in it, and it was really exciting. Really. So we had that strong church connection.
Yeah.
And so we were looking for something that really kind of connected us and also had community. And so I'd say, so we were looking for churches. My parents are, they live in the area, and they had a church and didn't really kind of speak to us.
Yeah.
Really. So we were kind of looking, looking for a church. And we happened to be at a farmer's market. This is before Amelia was born, but we were expecting. And we saw Pastor Jason Lucas, a former pastor here. He and his family were at the farmer's market, and they were both had baby carriers on. And so we struck up a conversation with them, asking them about, their baby carriers and what they like about them as we were kind of looking for, for those as we were expecting. And just kind of really had a good conversation. And then we kind of walked away. And then Pastor Jason Lucas runs up to me, afterwards and says, "Hey, do you go to a church?" And I said, "No, we're actually like looking for a church to go to. We've been kind of, church hopping a bit."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, well, I'm a pastor at Grace." And, he told us about all the services. And so this was a Saturday. And at that time, Grace had Saturday evening services.
Right.
And so we went to church that Saturday, and it was at that time, like, I think it was Dean and one of his daughters was doing the worship, and then Jason Lucas was doing the sermon that weekend, and we really connected with Pastor Jason's message, his message, how he preached.
Yeah.
And then we basically have been attending each Sunday after that, and really kind of, I would say, some of the messaging and then more so the community was what kind of kept us there. Really connected with a family group. That time it was called the Nest Builders. It kind of evolved into the adulting group, and now it's kind of, I think, coming to its next evolution.
Yeah.
But we really connected with a family group, and other kind of adults of the same age as us, same kind of stage in life. So we were able to develop kind of some good, meaningful relationships within the church that connected us, and then also relationships that our kids then could have kind of growing up, and also good children's programming. So, having a really good Sunday school for Amelia and Maddie kind of growing up, where they're not just getting good faith, faith development early on, but good connections, with other kids. So that was what kind of kept us there initially. And then what we're really excited about is, within this last year and a half, 2 years, maybe, 3 years maybe, is the, probably about 3 years, is seeing a couple things. I think the vision is exciting. I think a lot of people talk about that.
Yeah.
Vision from the sense of not just the words that are there, but a church saying what we're for.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes, and more of a, when you think more at a macro sense, like churches often can say like what they're against. I think that's what you see a lot in the media, but seeing a church that's saying this is what we are for, and taking that step out there and living into that, it was encouraging to us, seeing that, and that spoke to us. And then I think seeing the willingness to kind of go out there and live into that is exciting. And then a lot of the sermons as well, sermons, and then some of the other kind of faith formation activities that are happening that we're seeing happening now is exciting. I think seeing the sermons kind of get more depth to them, and the direction that we're going of bringing depth to our services, depth to our faith, and that it's not just about the Sunday, but really diving deeper and challenging both, you know, like coming to Sunday, coming into grace, and then living out, you know, during the week, and growing in depth in our faith, in depth, like as people, as a community, those around us, coming and being challenged, and then growing deeper relationships, deeper in our walk with Christ. All of those things are kind of some of the areas that keep us here.
I love that. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I love to hear that, because that's exactly, I think that's what church is meant to be, is a place to mature our faith together, to deepen our faith together, because being out in the world, no one else is going to hold us to that. No one else out there is going to hold us to that spiritual walk of growth and change and deepening.
I think, you know, if you walk to, or if you go to church every Sunday and you're comfortable, there's a problem.
That's
like a red flag. I think if you're truly like walking, you know, in your journey with Christ, you shouldn't always be comfortable. And I think that's, you can get stagnant, and you can kind of, you know, you lose sight of what that walk with Christ actually is and should be, and and what is Christ calling us, and what did Christ show us, and how Christ lived his life, and both how he lived, how he suffered, how he died. I think he showed us the model, and I think if we're not engaging that, and if we're not opening ourselves to live into that, then that can be problematic. So I'm kind of excited to see Grace, you know, encourage that depth, challenge and provoke, you know, provoke that that depth and that critical thinking, and asking tough questions. Those are all, you know, key parts.
Absolutely. Of the journey. Absolutely. And I love what you say about the vision statement, that it's, you're right, I hadn't thought about it until you said it that way, but that there are so many faith communities that say what they're against in our world, and to have something to point to that's not, I keep thinking of, I've been thinking a lot recently about the difference between a position and a posture. Like if we stand in a certain position, we're either right or wrong. There's no other option. If you're holding a position, right. Either right or wrong. But if you're holding a posture, it's kind of the difference between, like, folks who are listening, I do this all the time and I talk with my hands and I'm sorry you can't see me. But the sort of the image of like a clenched hand versus an open hand.
Right.
That I think the vision is still so, I love it for where it points us towards. And it's a posture so that we can live into it as we figure out the details. As we figure out the nitty details, we can live into it and grow. But it is sort of an open hands, following Christ, following God, as opposed to, this is who we are, we can never change. Because even that we're going to get wrong. Like, even that's not going to hold up. And so just the saying who we are and saying what we're for, while also having some space to grow. And to deepen and to ask those hard questions, like you were talking about.
I think oftentimes we're taught the opposite of how we should be living and treating each other. You know, oftentimes we're taught about what's right and what's wrong as like opposing forces. But I feel like what Jesus showed us is that we should be love, that we should love, that love first, and living out that love and that care. And it's like, it doesn't really matter what is right and wrong. it's matters that we love, that we can love those around us regardless. I mean there's probably more that I should dive into there, but just that love first, the love wins, and those are things that I strongly believe in.
And that's hard. It's easy to say. Yeah. It's easy to say between the two of us while we're sitting here pretty like-minded to say, well, of course love wins. Mm-hmm. It's harder to live it and to have a community that holds us to it. Those are those hard questions. Like, how the heck do I love my neighbor when they've done X reason things of why I can't love them to this week?
Right.
And it's sort of a bigger calling, a bigger pointing towards, this week your relationship sucks. Like, your relationship between these two, not the greatest. And yet, we're pointing towards something bigger. We can figure this out. We can grow together into something different because of love. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and that, all this to say, I'm not the model. I'm not a great example of this, It's like, I screw up as much as anyone,
Totally.
So it's like, I'm not the model here. I'm not a good example of this, but it's like, just that we're going to fail. We're going to screw up. I'm going to screw up, of course, every day, but the intention of saying that's our vision. That's where we're pointing to. That's our North Star, where we want to go to. And that being the journey of getting there and how we can be intentional and build that into our lives and our mindset is exciting.
And how important to reflect on the journey being a part of reaching where we're going. Like, it's not just a get to the North Star as fast as you can. It's like the journey that takes us there is almost as important, if not more important, than where we're trying to go. Because that's how we get there. But B, that's how we form the community we're trying to be, is through living it, through living constantly repositioning and repivoting towards that North Star. I just love all of that. Love the community aspect, love the far-reaching vision that still has like very real ties to the here and now. All of that. Very cool. Well, tell us about a time. So I think I've mentioned to you before that the sort of the podcast name is sort of tongue-in-cheek. So not only is it getting to know Grace Lutheran Church and our members here individually, but it's also getting to know God's grace in a new way, in a deeper way.
Yeah.
So tell us about a time when God's grace made a big impact in your life, or showed up in a different way, or just shifted things. Any way you can interpret that question, but a time when God's grace made a difference in your life.
Yeah. So in thinking of this question, I think of it as like presence. So where did I feel God being present with me? And actively working in like where I'm feeling that presence, and so there was, I think two, if I was to think of all the areas, there's probably two main parts of my life that I felt it the closest. There's other examples I could name, but two, I have a list of four, but two of the experiences that I think are the most compelling in my life. One of is my faith journey. The church that we went to in Northern California, they had a slogan called Provoke Change. So their website was actually provokechange.org. And one of their target groups was the de-churched. Ministering to those who are de-churched, who have negative experiences with the church. And I'd probably classify myself as one of those. I was raised in the church. We went to a church, and I went to the private school of that church in elementary school. And just right off the bat, growing up, a lot of my experiences, like, I could see the corruption, and I could see the, like, you know, what they were preaching and how they were living it and what I was reading. You know, I had to memorize, you know, scriptures of the Bible. So I'm reading, you know, actively reading the Bible, you know, as a young kid, and I'm seeing, like, when I read the Gospels, those are different than what I'm seeing. And so I'm seeing this, like, polarization of, like, Jesus' teachings and how it's being taught or how it's being lived.
Yep.
And I had a really hard time with that, you know, growing up. And so, and it wasn't even, like, small corruption. It was, like, pretty big, pretty in-your-face stuff. And so it kind of caused me to really early on, like, kind of not really buy into that, to that messaging. So I kind of had an experience where I kind of walked away, from the church. And it, not in a big way, not in anything major. There wasn't anything, you know, huge that, like, that walk away. It was just, I just kind of walked away. I stopped really fully engaging, and that was probably the biggest part. I stopped engaging with the church. I stopped, you know, like, reading it. I didn't, so, like, high school, I didn't go to Christian, you know, Christian school. So I kind of walked away, even though I might have still gone to church most Sundays. I just stopped really buying into it. It's probably not the right words, but I just stopped being as engaged with the church. And and in college, so you kind of picture a journey if you're seeing my hands. It was kind of like, you know, it's kind of like with the church, you know, growing up, and then there's just a polarization of me kind of then walking away, like arrow kind of walking away, you know. And in college, I took a Eastern Philosophies course,
and
and I loved it. I really, really loved it. And got really into all the reading, and so we went through a number of Eastern Philosophies courses, and so we learned, you know, Confucius and Buddha and Lao Tzu. We learned about Hinduism and all these Eastern religions, and it was a couple things that we went through in that course really spoke to me. And there's a couple books that we went through. I guess there's three books in that course, and that really spoke to me. One was, you know, the Tao Te Ching. There was a book that we read on Gandhi's essential writings. So it's his essential writings where he, and it's broken up into sections. So his writings on certain topics. One of them was Christianity and his walk as he walked with many Christian missionaries and then read deeply the Bible and Hinduism and Buddhism and had really articulate writings, and then all of this while standing against empire and breaking down an empire that was oppressing his people. And so those writings, along with you know, learning about Buddhism and how they talk about suffering and, like, their Eightfold Path and how they actively engage and have kind of, like, almost a framework to actively, like, engage in suffering as a way to, like, recognize, acknowledge, engage, and then get past, so that we're not held by, like, material you know, possessions. And I saw it was in Gandhi's essential writings and Buddhism that I saw a lot of connection to the Gospels. And so I talked a lot with the professor about that, and how you know, about, like, seeing these connections with that. And he recommended a book called The Good Heart. And it's a what The Good Heart was is, it was every year this Christian monastery, they would have speakers come at a conference and speak on certain topics. And this year they had the Dalai Lama come and give his view on Jesus's teachings in the Gospels. And so it was reading that that book and hearing the Dalai Lama speak and talk about, and he addresses it, his view of the Gospels. And he said he and Gandhi had a lot of comments of, if Christians read this, then, you know, if Christians believe this, then. And then he, one of the questions that was posed at the end was, what would be your view of someone who is struggling in that context Should they go to Buddhism or should they go to whatever another religion? What are your thoughts of people kind of going from one who have a foundation in one religion or one belief to go to another? And he said, rather than going to another, they should engage fully in their own so that they understand, their own religion and go back. And so that, along with kind of Gandhi's writings with a similar viewpoint, kind of were, spoke to me a lot and kind of got me to re-engage, pick up the Bible again and read through that, and kind of helped me kind of bring back. And it was kind of like, humor, like God's grace and like humor of like, hey, I'm here, even as you're struggling, I'm here with you and look how I brought you back, kind of a thing like a, inclusivity, like God's inclusivity in all things, was very interesting. So that was kind of like one of the examples, that I had of like how I've experienced God's grace or God's presence in my life that was kind of like actively engaging. And so it was just kind of like a humorous way, God through bringing me back from, engaging in those activities with me to help me see the correlation, the tie-in. And it was like through engaging with the professor and the Buddhism, there's a lot of tie-in with like what's written in like Ecclesiastes, like too.
Yes.
It was like and Ecclesiastes, like the Gospels, and then some of Buddhism, there's a lot of like similar things there.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just it was like a kind of a big part of my faith journey of like bringing me back and kind of building that depth there. So that was one part of where I experienced God's presence.
That is so cool.
And then another one was during Peace Corps. So more of like a probably humorous too, of humorous and kind of more centering probably experience. So I was in the Peace Corps. So while I was there, I did, business development and education. I worked with a group that did, they worked with vulnerable populations.
Okay.
So vulnerable populations, so primarily people living with disabilities.
Sure.
But they started a new program that was for HIV, people who are living with HIV or AIDS.
Yeah.
And I got to help design that program. And
Cool.
So I was like, oh, so I'm there, I'm doing this. And then we got to kind of do these events. And that were really, it's a highlight of my career. But it was like, I think I wrote about it in one of my first Messenger joining the board. But we're coming back from one of these events. And I'm feeling really proud of myself, pride and ego kind of building up, like, wow, like I just did this, like how great am I, type of a thing. I got to partner with the organization, and there's a person next to me who is there actively working with me as a colleague, a native Ghanaian who's Muslim. He is the one who's doing like free testing and doing the actual tests as a part of this effort. And we stop, and so I'm having these feelings of ego, and there's a person who was what am I blanking on the name? They were a leper.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a person begging who is a leper, who they had their limb, they didn't have all their fingers, but they're begging. And then I was the closest to the person, so I was the closest by the window, easiest to give the person money, and I just kind of froze. I'd never seen that. I was ignorant enough to not even know that that was even like still a thing, right? Like I didn't even know that was still a thing that happened. It's like in the Bible, but like, oh, like that's even still
an olden time disease.
So I kind of froze, and it was just like a shock. And immediately the person, like my colleague, goes and gives the person the money, and puts it on it and says, some type of blessings, for the person.
Yeah.
And I just froze. So it was like just super like kind of a wild thing there. And then it was just like kind of also like a slap in the face, like God, like, hey, you know, it's not about you, you know, kind of like a, why are you here? Questioning your motives, you know, like wake up kind of a thing. And then as a part of the same program that we were actively working, we had a number of events, which this was one of the events that we were having. And then we did training. So there's a group that I was actively working with kind of outside of this, but there's a women's group that was people living with HIV. And so it was a support group for them, as they're often shunned from their families, you know, driven out of their homes or the communities. And so it was a support group for them. And we did educational workshop for them on soap making.
Oh, cool.
And then was able to write a kind of a grant and get funding so we could buy all the supplies for them.
Yeah.
And so this is like same period, so not maybe 3 to 6 months period from that time, that event that I had, to this. And it was all a part of that same program that we were doing.
Sure.
And at the end of the soap making, there's a community center, orphanage that was in my community, that kind of came when they were graduating, they were celebrating. Okay. So that was friends with, and the founders of that, who are Canadian, happened to be there. And so they were there, and they came to this graduation of this woman that was soap making. And they said, well, you know, let's connect, let's get build some connections here.
Yeah.
And they connected the group to both their center, where they were, the woman had like a contract to supply their center with, you know, soap and, you know, just at least some small business.
Yeah.
But they also connected them to clinic and a community home for people living with leprosy in Tomalley, which is kind of in a neighboring larger town.
Okay.
So it was just like God's like calling me back, like,
yeah,
like, hey, I slapped you in the face, like, waking up, but look at me. But like, saying like, look at what I can do, and like those connections. So it was it's probably like one of the most like profound like areas where I've experienced God like actively, like, you know, working and putting connections in place.
Yeah.
But like also kind of like expressing humor and in how he's like driving humility. Yeah. So yeah, so those are probably the two biggest parts where I've experienced God's grace, more from a sense of like presence in my life, you know, actively working, and then you know, from a humor perspective.
I thank you for sharing all of that. I often think the Holy Spirit has us all beat when it comes to humor. Mm-hmm. Just the best sense of humor.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get to laugh along, and sometimes we're just, what are you doing? And I'm so grateful that you've gotten to a point in your journey to look back and say, there's some humor here.
Yeah.
Like, this is just ridiculous, right? The way that the universe works and the way that God is able to work those connections. And it's only in retrospect that we can see it, but God's already got it all finagled. And it's just incredible to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the faith journey, in the part of my faith journey, Ecclesiastes and like the connection with what I was kind of going through and processing from the Eastern philosophies, I kind of reread a lot of the Gospels and Ecclesiastes around that, and where Ecclesiastes is talking about like life is fleeting, you know, life is meaningless, you know, the meaning, and then kind of bringing it back. I think Ecclesiastes is like really fun to read. It's really funny and engaging. Yeah. And it's like, you know, really kind of taking like extracting all of the worldly things, and like what's really important here, what is critically important for you as a you know, as a person, as a child of Christ, what's really important here? And then as each of the things that you experience in our day-to-day, is that really important? You know, it's like framing it from that perspective, where like David in Ecclesiastes talks like, this is meaningless, or life is fleeting. And then it's like just kind of recognizing that, and then having, God be present, allowing God to actively work, whether that's like things that we think of like actively, like I had the example when I was in Peace Corps, actively work, or the inner work that we're going through, and just allowing that to happen, and allowing ourselves to be critical, and think critically, and drive that depth, I think is it's really important for us to take that time and just take a step back sometimes.
Totally. I love all that you're saying. It's sort of perfect timing, because yesterday, so we're recording today on Monday the 4th. Yes, so yesterday was the 3rd. And yesterday was the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, who's venerated saint in multiple traditions. Lutherans don't really have saints, but I love that there are these ancestors in the faith that we get to kind of learn by example from. And his big thing was he was born into a life of great privilege, incredibly rich, his whole family was. And he basically gives it all up because he sees someone outside the gates with leprosy who's begging, who has nothing, and realizes that this person knows more about God than Francis did, in his place of great privilege. And so gives it all up to try and chase that presence that you're talking about, that that awareness of God, that connection in all things. Something that I think Eastern religions are much more attuned to than a lot of Western religions are, in terms of the connectiveness of all things and the connectedness and how sort of the breath of divinity is in all things. I think there are certainly some voices within Christianity that have pointed to that, but it hasn't been the main narrative. And I think I can feel some of that bubbling up again of saying, we are all connected through that presence. We are connected to the natural world around us. We are not just set apart and somehow distanced from creation. When creation's hurting, we hurt. When our neighbors hurt, we hurt. When we hurt, the world hurts. Like, all of that connectiveness is really just, I think, at the heart of the Gospels, at the heart of Jesus's message, in terms of that's why we love each other. That's why we chase that presence of God. That's why we look out for the least of these, because we're connected to them. Our stories, our lives are intertwined with all of the pain that's around us, all of that connectedness. And it's so cool when we get to kind of glimpse behind the curtain a little bit and see those connections. Like you were just saying, those connections between this man on the side of the, I'm assuming a man, I guess you never said, but a beggar on the side of the road who you just freeze and don't know how to act. And then you're given this chance to like start a new thing and to connect with and to kind of build around people like this person that you froze at first. And I love when we get to see those connections. I think that's so fulfilling in our faith journey, and so just absolutely awe-inspiring. Well, thank you for sharing your story, Jason. This has been lovely to talk with you and to get to hear a little bit more about your walk with Christ. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for all that you do, and for being here at Grace. It's exciting. I mean, a part of the depth that I'm seeing here at Grace, and what's the depth that I was speaking to. A lot of it is like, what you're doing, what Pastor Chad's doing, what Pastor Salvador is here to do. So it's really exciting to see where we're headed. And a lot of the depth that you're bringing. So thank you for your work here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Oh, well, I wish everyone listening you could be in the room with us because my heart is just full. I hope yours are too. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next week yet again when we'll have another great guest. Grace guest, I should say. Another great Grace guest. It's a great alliteration. I just keep saying it. Tune in next week. We'll see you then. Until then, God's blessings, God's love, and God's peace go with you all. Take care, everybody.